now for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Hello and welcome to Shout Out. I'm Andy Shilton.
And I'm Mitch Gray-McMorrow. And today on the show, Bristol Pride.
We've got a few bits that weren't broadcast on the day.
And Birthday Boy.
The story of a trans boy celebrating his birthday away from all the bullying.
And the creator will be here in the studio and just like us.
It's time for their latest podcast, all coming today, right here on Shout Out. Oh, I say, we're going up in the world.
Ooh, what was that? What was that thing at the beginning about touch screening?
Yeah. Touch screen.
What was
touch
that?
Screen. Touch screen.
It's a touch screen PC.
We've had the PC upgraded.
Wow.
Only one of them is working well. I've just been tapping this one and nothing happened.
After our experience last week with a...
With no computer.
We had to ad-lib, didn't we?
Yeah. Ad-lib. The whole show.
At the beginning, the PC didn't work at all.
Yeah. Yeah, we sang the intro.
Yeah, it wasn't pretty.
Oh, that must have been painful. Sorry, listeners.
It could have been worse timing, because we had an improv group on the show to talk about improv theatre.
It was perfect timing.
And then we had to improv.
You didn't talk to me about improv theatre, excuse me.
Speaking of it, how are the short days?
Yes, we have got a gig in Brighton Pride.
Wow.
Wonderful.
Thank you.
Brighton Pride.
Yes. Where are you coming to Bristol?
Wow. See, when you will choose others over us.
Mitch is going where the money is, aren't you?
There's no money in it, Steph. I do it for love.
Do you think, seeing as
people, I do it for love.
Shout out to 10th birthday next year. We might be able to get the short and girlies up for...
I would love to. Yeah.
That would be great.
I think
do a special set for us.
Yes.
Oh.
I love improv anyway, and the Bristol Improv Theatre is fantastic, so yeah.
They were great time on the show.
Yeah.
And the problem is, you can ask them about the show and you get kind of like highlights, but because the whole thing is improvised, you don't actually know the full content of the show.
No,
and every single show.
It's all as good as the audience.
Yes.
Just saying.
Yeah, absolutely. There used to be a really good improv programme on Channel 4. Do you remember? It's called Whose Line Is It Anyway?
Yes.
Do you remember that?
Yes, and that's the. It's a long time ago.
Yeah. That was really good, wasn't it?
That was really good.
Yeah. Yeah, we're talking movies today, too.
Movies, yes.
Yeah, we've got Leo here in the back of the studio. We'll be talking to him later on about a new film coming up. So, but before we do that, there's a few things happened at Pride. Were you aware there was a massage tent?
I didn't see this.
Yeah, there was a wellbeing tent.
Oh, the wellbeing tent, yes. Yes, there was. I did see that.
I'll blame Matthew totally, because he labelled the clip massage tent. So have a listen to this.
I absolutely love roaming around. I've come into the most wonderful teepee kind of thing, a rainbow tent. And we're doing massage here. I'm with Vicky from Dara Massage. Can you just describe what's going on here?
We're just offering some holistic massage for anyone that wants to come along and have a free treatment today.
By holistic massage, is that just like normal massage, or is that a specific type of massage?
So holistic's more, yeah, relaxation, bit of deep tissue, encompassing the whole body. Yes.
Is it, well, I'm looking here, there are people being massaged. Is it popular sort of thing at Pride?
I don't think it's happened before. I think this is the first time. So we're trying to encourage all generations to come along, especially the older generation who may need to put their feet up and have a little relaxation time. So we just want to provide something for everyone.
And so what made you decide to come to Pride?
Just being queer and being able to offer something in a safe space, it's really important for me to be able to offer healing in a way that is accessible for everyone. And part of that, I think, in a lot of places, it's not really queer friendly, or you might feel a bit set back or afraid to go. So I think this is a really safe space for people of all genders and identities to just be themselves and to get all the benefits and the loveliness of massage. So it's really, really good, and I'm glad to be here.
There's a really serious point there, though, because if people aren't necessarily comfortable with their body or they're going through a transition, you still need to look after your body during that transition period.
Absolutely. And it's something that I'm really key to work with and helping people on their journeys of like loving their bodies and connecting with it as well. I think it's really, really key. And it's something that we, as a society, we don't pay enough attention to or look after ourselves enough to do that. And I think, yeah, if we can promote that and everyone comes along and just sort of has 5 minutes, then we're doing the world a real good.
And let's be frank, when you're at any kind of festival, it is just to get good to get that chill out moment, isn't it?
Absolutely, absolutely. And it's really good. I don't drink either, I don't smoke, and this to me is just like the just all of the good, you know, and it's just nice to be able to provide this service to people here. It's really, really great.
Finally, Vicky, I've been asking people, what does Pride mean to them? So what does Pride mean to you?
Pride is a riot, and it still is, and we're still fighting, and we still need to make people more and more aware and break down barriers and just celebrate.
Vicky, thank you very much. Well, I found Ev and Maureen, who are here at Pride, and I must say, you've got yourself set up with chairs. You're looking very comfortable here.
Well, yes, it's too old to walk all that way. And stay all day.
Now, are you regulars at Pride? Have you been to Pride here in Bristol before?
I've only just moved to Bristol. Maureen comes from Bristol. I come from Burton-on-Trent. And this is my first time at Bristol Pride.
Okay, so I'm going to ask you then. So far then, based on what you've seen so far, what do you take on it?
It's okay. It's big. plenty of walking about, plenty of people, which it should be. You know, Pride's a day to be proud. You know, everybody hides. Shouldn't happen, really.
So, Ev, and then you said it's a time to be proud. What does pride actually mean to you?
It means being myself. You know, many people hide, and I don't. You can't hide. You've got to live your life. You've only got one, and you should be proud to live it, no matter what gender you are. You know.
And what about you, Maureen?
Well, I haven't long been. Well, I have been out a long time, but no, sure. I'm not as out as these.
And now you're here at Pride.
Yes.
Well, listen, ladies, you're looking incredibly happy together, and I wish you a fantastic Pride.
We're getting married this year.
Sorry?
We're getting married this year.
Oh, congratulations! You heard that on Shout Out live. So, well, Ev and Maureen, best of luck and congratulations to you both.
Thank you.
Good.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yeah. Oh, isn't that sweet?
Oh, that was really sweet.
That was very interesting.
Congratulations to Maureen and Ev.
Yes.
Yeah, congrats.
I hope the wedding goes well.
Yes.
So,
have we had a live proposal before on the show?
Was that actually a proposal, or did they already know that they were going to get married?
No, they already knew.
They were. Right. Yeah. Have we had a live proposal on the show yet?
I don't think we have.
Maybe our tent, we ought to go hunting the country.
If you're thinking of proposing to your other half, you know where to contact us.
Yes. Come along and, you know, do it on air, live on air.
Yeah. We'll have to have both people in the studio to find out if they actually respond.
Yeah.
Could be really embarrassing if one says no, though.
That's
live
true.
On air.
Yeah. Why don't we sort through?
Maybe we should record it.
Yeah, maybe we should record it. Yeah. You can contact us on LGBT. Radio for you. Sorry. No, that's not it, is it? Shout out radio.lgbt. I know,
it's
Andy.
It's a big writing on the top of your script.
I know, Andy.
Do you remember?
I was just being funny.
There was obviously some sad news at Pride as well. I'm sure actually for himself it's quite a relief after 10 years. But of course, Darren announced live on stage that he was stepping down after running Pride for 10 years. Yeah. And we were very lucky. We were the first to collar him when he came off stage, and we had a word with him to find out a bit more about it. So listen to this.
So right, we've just been told some really, really sad news.
Yeah, this is my last Pride. Well, I'll go to other Prides, but it's my last organising of Bristol Pride. So I'm so proud. Like I've just said on the stage, I'm leaving with my head held higher than I could ever imagine. I'm so proud of Bristol. Not of myself, but of Bristol for coming together and making such an amazing Pride event. And the parade was incredible, and the atmosphere today has been incredible. So, you know, I'm leaving with great plans and, you know, laid plans for Bristol Pride to keep on continuing. And, you know, it was important for us to make that move up to the Downs. And I think that has been 2 years in the making. Yeah, now that's done, people, you know, we can carry on and keep on growing.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out podcast.
That's a Riptide by Vance Joy. Oh, sorry, am I supposed to pose?
No, I wasn't.
Hannah's doing her usual selfie.
Oh, hang on, guys, hang on. Ready? Andy?
Go on, then.
Oh.
Sexy tattoo, mate.
The tattoos are coming out. Yes.
Excellent. I like it.
I've never in my life known someone who does so many selfies as you.
Lara.
Oh, well, yeah. Yeah, true. Lara does lots of selfies. And there's lots of stuff going on with his face app at the moment, isn't there?
Oh, my goodness.
The one that makes you look old or younger.
I'm so in love with that. I feel like
that. Yes, great. But they're really concerned because
I'm a really handsome
it's
man,
Russian
actually.
And connected. Have you seen the news about it being Russian? And
Russia knows everything about everything.
All
I'm
your
not
photos
concerned.
And everything.
Well, there's a lot of cyber warfare apparently goes on, isn't there? I've heard that daily our systems are sort of like being tested by the Russians and Chinese and so on. And we do the same to them.
Yeah. Oh, well, GCSQ,
it's very interesting. Yeah.
It was published on BBC News published it, and GCHQ blocked something like 30,000 attacks last year.
Yeah.
Which is ridiculous number.
That's the
number.
Way it goes on. We've gone from the Cold War into this sort of cyber warfare, yeah?
Yeah.
Accurate.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
For all the tech.
Well, they were apparently the first people on the moon as well.
Don't tell Trump.
Don't tell Trump. No, but it's just recently been the anniversary, isn't it? A couple of days ago, it was the anniversary of the moon landing.
Anyway,
I'm doing quotes.
Yeah. It doesn't work on radio.
Sorry. I'm telling
quotes, moon landing.
So you're not convinced it happened then?
Well, you know, I mean, come on, that was 1969. Really? They had the technology, did they?
Yeah, but they had.
Did they?
Who cares? They had Motang.
Exactly. Why leave the planet
Obviously
anyway?
Obviously, a discussion we can have another day.
They didn't need to leave her.
Yeah. What's the tenuous link between that and the LGBTQ community?
Well, there was the Sky at Night did a very good feature last week on it, and it was interesting. They had loads of ancient clips from the 50s and 60s when they were covering the Apollo missions and that, and everything was like, oh, the men that go to the moon, they must be well-adjusted men. That means they must be married and with children and things like this. It was fascinating, the kind of attitudes that was. And even the interviewer was like, saying to this psychologist, he said, what, like all us bachelors don't even qualify and things, let alone women, of course. And they had female astronauts talking about it as well. Wow. It was a very different world.
I'll have to work out the name,
Someone hasn't turned the sounds off on the new computer.
Oh, okay.
Someone's messaging us, are they?
Oh. So, anyway, speaking of which, let's get some news headlines.
This is Shout Out News on Thursday, the 18th of July.
LGBT campaigners have been commenting online this week on the news that the civil disobedience network Extinction Rebellion have been holding a series of protests and occupations in the city of Bristol, starting on Monday. ER is a grassroots activist movement that believes in taking direct action as the only way to compel governments to act to avert an ecological disaster. Many of the activists that have come into the ER movement have past experience of protest groups from the Green and Animal Rights field, and some have used knowledge of LGBT campaign groups to make their demonstrations more effective. Well, the response was mixed and muted from some of the elements within the community, who said the demonstrators were stopping NHS staff and vulnerable people from commuting. And in one case we heard about, ER activists lectured people for wearing leather. Perhaps they prefer rubber. Anyway, the radical and younger wing of the LGBT movement pointed out that some years ago, lots of LGBT people felt the need to protest militant for their rights, with groups such as Outrage, the Lesbian Avengers, Queer Nation and the Transgender Menace. This period is known as the era of new queer activism, lasting from around 1987 to 1996. And some of the people involved with those groups used their expertise to join other protest causes of the age, including the anti-Rose protests of Twyford Down, the Newbury Bypass and in animal rights demonstrations.
LGBT campaigners, atheist groups and the science and technology community have all warmly welcomed the news that computer pioneer Alan Turing will be the face to grace the back of the new £50 notes from 2021, when a new polymer note replaces the current paper-based 50s, which are the last of the traditional banknotes to be moved over to the more durable plasticised form. Alan Turing was an outstanding mathematician whose work has had an enormous impact on how we live today, said Bank of England Governor Mark Carney when interviewed by the BBC News Channel. Turing was years years ahead of its time in his work on computers, the principles of which he set out in an immeasurably important theoretical papers and Practical Machines. He was also ahead of the field in dismissing all organised religion and being happy and content in his homosexuality. Unfortunately, he was brought down by the cruelty of a homophobic society, which demanded that he be chemically castrated, and was a key factor in Turing's apparent suicide in 1954. Perhaps more than anything else, however, was Turing's crucial work on breaking German cipher codes during the Second World War, allowing the anti-fascist powers to predict their enemies' plans and bring about a much quicker end to the war than would otherwise have been possible. Comments online have included the remark that next time that pompous old windbag Anne Widdecombe opens her trap about British freedoms, then she should reflect on the fact that our victory in the Second World War depends in no small part of the brilliant mind of an atheist homosexual.
Local TV channel Bristol TV are our colleagues and have done much to report on LGBT lives in the West Country. The station, which brought back local TV to the region some years after the old HTV West was absorbed into ITV, says that the town of Portishead has held its first Pride. A social event was held in a bedecked local tapas bar and rainbow bunting was spread across the high street. The council of Portishead was said to be very supportive. However, Bristol TV did make an error in reporting that this Pride was the first such event in North Somerset. In fact, Weston-super-Mare has enjoyed Pride annually since 2014, and indeed our team hope to be broadcasting live from the event at the end of this month.
Facebook has been in trouble with many minorities before. The number of anti-Semitic web pages it allows has turned many Jewish people away from the social media platform, and homophobia is so rampant on it that some activists launched a campaign called Stamp Out Homophobia on Facebook in 2014. Facebook moderators seem to add to the situation by routinely blocking LGBT people's posts on the grounds of guidelines, although these seem to depend on the personal interpretations of individual moderators and are highly inconsistent. Now the left-wing weekly paper Socialist Worker reveals that activists are mobilising to protest Facebook after a man was told that his disabled rights website was being blocked. Correspondent Ellen Clifford reports that the webpage Accessibility was closed down because apparently some people find images of disabilities disturbing. The group DPAC, which is a national disabled activist group, is planning on protesting against Facebook. Meanwhile, Ms Clifford contends disabilism is fostered by capitalists as a way to manage unproductive labour. We must challenge prejudice, but to end the oppression of disabled people, we need to get rid of capitalism. Meanwhile, if you're interested in hearing about disabled rights, issues and struggles, plus plenty of good music, then the Disabled Community's National Radio Network is for you. Able Radio transmits 24 hours a day on the internet from studios in Torveen, South Wales. It has also ventured into making accessible television via the YouTube platform.
And finally, on Monday night, Classic FM, which is one of Britain's national classical networks, presented a programme dedicated to the amazing works of French composers. The showcase marked the 130th anniversary of the storming of the Bastille prison, an essential chapter in the French Revolution of 1789. Though the revolution brought much bloodshed for a while, LGBT people are often grateful for the legal reforms that the French Revolution instituted. The old laws of the French Bourbon government were replaced by a new penal code based on rationalism and scientific endeavour, and to that end, homosexuality was decriminalised by the new French state way back in 1791. Although it is by no means brought an end to homophobia in France, the principle of separation of church and state and the need to get the government out of people's bedchambers was a hard one and important principle, and it's helped shape democracy around the globe in those two centuries since the French Revolution.
For these news stories and more, visit our website at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
For Shoutout News, this has been Terry Starr
and Hans Peregrin.
Shout Out News.
National and international LGBT news for you.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
We are young by the kid.
Excuse me, Andy.
What a name.
Did you see that? As soon as he said that, he looked straight at me, saying, "When you were young."
Yeah. When you were young.
It's good. We are young.
Yes, and you look straight at me with those eyes. Those eyes, Andrew.
Oh,
now,
Steph, don't get all paranoid.
Oh, you're so easy to wind up these days, aren't you?
Oh. Yes, she is. So. She's just like a little clock ready to spring.
Yeah.
Bless. Anyway, we've got two guests in the studio, James and Leo. Very warm welcome to the pair of you. Coming to talk to us about a new film, isn't it?
Yes, yes, we are.
Before we talk to you, should we have a little listen to your trailer?
Sure, yeah.
Hi, my name's Clyro.
I am Hugo.
Hi, my name is Campbell Canafort, and I'm 23.
I'm Loro. I'm 28 years old.
Hi, my name is Maxine Heron. I'm 25 years old, and I'm a model, an actress, and an activist. And I'm a transgender woman.
I'm a transgender man.
I am trans man.
I'm a transgender woman.
And I'm a trans man.
Please support this film, Birthday Boy, because it's an incredible story.
It follows the story of a remarkable boy named Alex.
The main focus of this story isn't to do with someone's transition, it's just about showing someone that's transgender in a normal light and in a normal story.
I think it's going to be a really positive portrait of a trans man.
And I invite you to help us raise funds.
Because it supports young LGBTQ filmmakers.
And they're an amazing team, so just support the cause.
Well, there you go. A little bit of an intro to it. So the film's called Birthday Boy, isn't it?
It is, yes.
Give us a little bit of information about it, because it doesn't give much away in that, really, does it?
It doesn't. We wanted it to be a massive surprise. it's a story about a young trans boy who goes to an all-girls school, and they find it quite difficult, and they find escapism through online games. And it's... While he has troubles at school, he ultimately has a positive narrative, and it's quite uplifting. And even though it's about a trans boy, it doesn't really focus that much about transition. It could be played by anyone.
So, you're the one who created it, Leo?
No, absolutely not. Okay. I'm the co-creator. So, my co-writer here, James, who's also the producer.
Hi.
Yeah.
Hi.
Yeah, I'll let him speak about it.
So me and Leo, we've worked together for years now. I guess we met in 2011, and we just click. Every time we work together, it's amazing. It's something good.
So is this not the first film we've done then together?
It's not, actually. I mean, on this scale, it is. But we've done lots of different projects together.
Yeah.
I mean, it was inspired by someone very close to me. And we just wanted to tell, as Leo said, an uplifting story.
Yeah.
Because so much representation for transgender people is just negative, and it doesn't always have to be that way.
I was going to say, there's one of the things that stuck out, because I remember we had exactly the same issue. You go back like 15, 20 years, every single film about gay men was all about the HIV and AIDS crisis and how bad things were. And it really kind of resonated with me that you're kind of trying to do a similar thing and put something more positive out there. So, but did I hear that right? Is it based on a true story, or was it just inspired by?
It's inspired by a true story.
Right.
And this is someone close to you as well. So yes, yeah, right. You've got a lot of investment in this this film. And so can I ask, do you play a role in it as well? Do you star in it as the actors?
So I'm the director of it, so I'll be directing it, and James is the producer, so he's the one, you know, calling the shots, you know, hiring and firing. Not really that, but he makes it come true, and it's my vision. But we both wrote it, and it's something that we're really deeply invested in. But it's not just us, we have a whole massive crew that make this happen, and we couldn't do it without them.
Exactly.
And it's really important to have different, you know, narratives within the queer, can I say quick, because we have Queer Vision here in Bristol as well. We have a film network, and it's really important to have a lot more of these narratives coming through that are more positive and uplifting. So where do you see it going? What's your hopes for
I mean, one of the amazing things is we raised the funding for this film through Kickstarter. So everything has been kind of donated to us, and we're so grateful for that. Our intention is to then submit it into festivals next year.
And really, so for us, we really wanted to make it because we feel like, even, you know, it's a short film. We feel that the more people tell these stories, the more, you know, it's normalised for it to be told. So we would love to just show, you know, really anywhere, and just hope to get the conversation going that, you know, that you can cast more trans actors for trans roles. It doesn't have to be a cis actor.
So how do you go about starting to write a movie? Because you started with an idea. Do you kind of like storyboard it out?
It's a lot of time.
It's a long, long process. So I'm currently at the National Film and Television School, which is a fantastic film school, and I'm very privileged to go there. So really, I'm balancing this on my course. So during that time, I'm trying to get more experience and things like that. So there is a little program that the BFI did called the BFI Born Digital.
Right.
And we discovered it quite late. I think there was like a week or something till the end of the application. And so it was based around the celebration of the internet. And during this time, we had someone close to James, and it's based on who this character and the story came about. So we really wrote it for that, and they really loved it. But I was struggling at the time with work, so I couldn't get like a treatment to them. So when my school, the National Film Television School, they did a program called the Bridge to Industry, which is like a yearly thing they do to try and help people with ideas make things happen. So we put that forward to it, and they accepted it. And part of that deal was that they were working with Kickstarter to help students learn all the skills of crowdfunding, and that's how this came about.
Which is fantastic. I mean, it must be really good for you as well, the fact that things like Kickstarter now exist these days.
Yeah, definitely.
Because you go back like 10, 15 years before it existed, and of course it would have been a lot harder to get the funding, wouldn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
But I mean, have you had I'm taking it, because it is now fully sponsored, isn't it? You've actually raised the money on Kickstarter, or is it still...
Yeah, oh, we were successful in raising the funding.
Which is brilliant. You must have been grinning from ear to ear when that first happened. But I mean, what's the feedback been like? Because obviously, you haven't actually made the movie yet. You put the idea out there, and you've now raised the money. But people obviously believe in the idea, or else they wouldn't give the money. Have you already had feedback from some of them saying?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, one of the things we wanted to do was use the Kickstarter opportunity as a platform itself.
Right.
So our Kickstarter started around the same time as Transgender Day of Visibility, which is March 31st. And we decided at the time, how about if we do a whole month of transgender visibility? So we asked people to send in their stories, and using our Instagram, every day for the entire month, we were posting someone else's story.
Oh, amazing.
And it was an incredible feeling, and it just brought so many people together in a really positive way. And that's a big theme in the film, is that you can find community online if you can't find it at home.
Cool. So when does filming start then? Have you started yet?
We have a rough shooting date of October.
Right.
But before that, we're actually looking. So as I said, when we were doing this film, the main thing of this film was to bring opportunity towards transgender actors. So we were looking for a trans boy to play the part of Alex, who is our leading role. So we're actually, I think from 2 weeks now, we're doing our casting auditions.
Fantastic. And
which is really, really exciting. It's like open call for all trans actors,
So is that including our audience? If there are people listening?
Yes.
Yeah.
So
we've got quite a big trans community.
Yes. And that will be taking place on the 30th of July, and it will be in Greater London, and it will be... we're very, very privileged to have BBC LGBT correspondent Ben Hunt, who will be filming the audition and doing a feature of that.
So fantastic.
So is that how people can actually... get in touch with you as well?
Oh, no. Sorry. It's my first time on radio. I'm not that professional plugging things. We have an Instagram page called B-Day Boy Film, and any people interested in that can just contact that page and find out more information.
Yeah, our website as well is http birthdayboyfilm.com, which gives loads more information about the film, what it's all about.
Cool. And if someone is listening and potentially wants to audition, they can contact you through the website too, can't they?
Contact through the website.
Brilliant. Cool. Well, it sounds like you do need to be able to go to London if it's happening in London on the 30th of July. But if you are interested, get in touch with the guys through the website.
And if, because obviously money is a factor for many people, if you can't come to London, on that day because of work schedules or things like that, you can get in contact and send a self-tape in, which is absolutely fine as well.
That was what I was going to say. Is there an option for people to just send in?
It's all modern
clips?
Isn't it? It's
like, oh, it's all Skyping an audition. I mean, that is
a Kickstarter to raise the money. It's brilliant. So well, listen, guys,
yeah,
it's been,
well done.
It's been absolutely lovely talking to you. And what you must do when you've actually got some stuff in the can and the like, send us some previews so we can play it out, and perhaps we'll have to catch up with you when the movie's closer to being on the screen. It'll be lovely to see how it turns out. I can't wait.
Oh, thank you.
We'd love to.
Yeah,
we're so excited.
Well, you have to come back. Yeah.
Thank you so much. Love to. Thank you.
Anyway, you're listening to Shout Out. Stay with us. We'll be back in a minute.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Right, let's see what she says this time when I look at her and tell her that this song's called Giant.
Oh, love it. love a bit of Rag and Bone Man.
Not reacting. I got told off because she was young earlier, and now it's giant.
Oh, no. Just stop winding her up.
I'm not engaging.
I'm really glad. No. You know, you are being the bigger person.
Thank you, Mitch.
So, anyway, would you like to introduce this?
What?
The next bit. You know what it is.
What, it's another track?
No.
Oh, it's the JLU podcast. Yep, we engage, obviously, every month with our youth group, just like us, who go to schools and colleges to fight homophobia and transphobia.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
Just like us, for LGBT young people.
Hey, Sarah.
Hey, James.
How are you doing?
Oh, this is very weird. Hello, I'm good.
We're not in person this month, are we?
Yeah, we've been tragically split apart like two
star-crossed lovers. Except not, because I'm gay and you're a lesbian. What are we talking about this month, Sarah?
So, shockingly, this month we're going to be talking about Pride. So, we're just going to talk about, like, different Pride events we've been to and kind of what the vibe has been for all of them and what our experiences are.
We went to London Pride this year.
Yeah, we did. That was really fun. I think it's nice because you don't really have to have a plan for Pride. Like, you can kind of just very much go with the vibe, and there's always something to do no matter where you kind of are, especially in London.
Yeah, we watched the parade. That was fun. We didn't watch the whole parade, but we ended up getting to the front. We actually got to see, like, from the front. Well, at least I did. Y'all were, like, behind me.
Well, I mean, you're also, like, 5 foot.
Don't misrepresent my height to the listeners. I'm 7 feet tall.
Stop this.
I think one of the nicest things was we went to Soho Square, and, like, all the LGBTs were, like, sitting down. Like, it was a real, like, kind of community spirit. Like, the square was just packed with everybody just, like, sitting on the floor, chilling. It was really nice. And that to me, is, like, the sort of thing that Pride is actually about, is, like, hanging out with your gays.
Yeah, it was really lovely. I think it's also sometimes quite hard to find that kind of community feel in London-y Pride, because it can feel, like, a lot bigger sometimes, I feel like. Yeah, although sometimes you have, like, those kind of nice little moments with strangers, like, where they want you to put rainbow paint on their face and stuff, but then that's it.
Yeah, there is definitely that nice vibe. But no, yeah, we had a nice day, and then in the evening we went for a boogie, which was also nice.
No one said the word boogie in about 20 years, but I appreciated that.
You're listening to Just Like Us, the monthly show for LGBT young people.
I would say that London Pride is very different to, because we went to Oxford Pride together. Mm-hmm. I was shocked at how different the vibe was. Like, you kind of know, because London is the biggest.
Right.
But, you know, I'd never really experienced anything smaller than London because I live so close to it.
Yeah, the smaller prides definitely often have a lot more of that sort of, like, community vibe. And the parade itself in Oxford is interesting because everybody just kind of merges in and out of the parade. Like, if you're at Pride, you are part of the parade. Like, it's everybody.
I love that, yeah.
Which is really fun. Like, you get to walk with everybody. And, like, there are still, like, distinct groups, but it's much more sort of, like, groups of people rather than, we're going there, corporations.
There are a lot of corporations at Pride. Yeah. Like, we were standing there sometimes, and it was kind of just people going past, and you had to squint to kind of see where the rainbow was on there, or, like, what they even were.
You get, like, a nice community group that's like, lesbians support trans women, and it's like, woo! And then you get another one that's like, this is for, like, LGBT homeless kids, and you're like, woo! And then it's like,
this random building society you've never heard of. And it's kind of like, you woo as they go past, but also it does kind of put a bit of a dampener on
it. I mean, it's interesting because there's a line to draw, right? Because, you know, they have employees who want to celebrate their own pride, then, like, why not let those employees walk under the banner of, like, the company that they're a part of? But then when it comes all together, it ends up being, like, 80% companies, and then Pride itself loses its roots. It's kind of difficult to navigate.
Yeah.
It all comes down to the kind of catchphrase at the moment that, you know, Pride is a protest. Pride is about sort of making other sexualities and gender identities outside of the norm visible in ways that may be uncomfortable to people outside that community, and being like, this is who we are, we're proud of it, deal with it.
Yeah, it's hard because Pride has the power, obviously, to be very, like, empowering, because it's like, being LGBT can be quite scary at times, as in, like, can be easy to be, like, inundated with horrible news. Yeah. So I feel like Pride is, like, the perfect opportunity to protest that and raise your voice, but kind of have fun and be unapologetic about it at the same time. But, like, it can be quite hard to kind of feel, like, overshadowed by, like, corporations and stuff like that.
You're listening to Just Like Us, the monthly show for LGBT young people.
Taz has chatted to some Just Like Us ambassadors at London Pride, and she's kind of been finding out their thoughts on all the things we've been talking about. So yeah, let's hear from them.
So how do you feel about Pride in London today?
I feel great about Pride in London today. It's like my fourth, fifth year coming, but like my first marching. So yeah, I feel like really happy, like feel really great.
I feel quite conflicted. On the one hand, it's very nice to see rainbows everywhere on quite a sort of superficial level. Or not superficial, it's still important to have visibility. But on the other hand, rainbow capitalism is an increasing problem, and a lot of franchises that have either done nothing for LGBT rights or have actively harmed them are sporting rainbows and selling products with rainbows on them and marching in the parade for visibility, which is pretty counterintuitive. And I think London Pride in particular is becoming increasingly corporate and shutting out actual LGBT people.
So this will be my first Pride in London, and I feel very excited and happy to go to it. I can't wait.
This is my first ever Pride, so I'm really excited. And also, I'm only just kind of coming out at home now. So this is like really fun, because I'm going to be able to post it on Facebook and then everyone will know, and then I'll never have to think about it ever again.
Has anyone been to any other Prides? And if so, can you tell us what your experiences were like?
So I went to Oxford Pride a few weeks ago, and it was my first Pride. I come from somewhere which is quite insular, and I just think it puts into perspective just how lucky you are to have these things. And the reason why I thought I was particularly lucky to be in Oxford was just, like, I was with all my friends. I'm in a city that I'm familiar with. It wasn't, like, too much. I think for a first Pride, it was just right.
So I've been to London Pride for the past 4 years in a row, Oxford Pride for the past three, and Brighton Trans Pride every year that it's been on. So London Pride is definitely the biggest and most extravagant of them, so I'm always most excited for London Pride every year. Trans Pride is more of, it's more about individuals getting together to form community, and less about sort of big floats and like companies coming out and stuff like that, which has a very different vibe. And then everyone like sits down and has picnics in front of the stage. There's not all that much drinking, there's not all that much like rowdy concerts or anything. It's kind of, it's more chilled out compared to other bigger city prides.
And lastly, three words to describe how you feel about Pride today.
Party, protest, happiness.
Heat, excitement, and a lot of glitter.
You're listening to Just Like Us, the monthly show for LGBT young people.
So I hope that's an insight into our rambling and long thoughts on Pride. Thank you, Sarah, for being a great conversational partner, as always. Another episode of Chills and Thrills from the Just Like Us podcast.
Oh, I feel like that was a slogan you were trying to try out on me.
Yeah, I didn't.
I don't know how I felt about it.
See you, Sarah. See you next month.
See you, James.
Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to Just Like Us, the monthly show for LGBT young people. The music was by Twisteria. We come into schools too. Young people, teachers and parents can find us at www.justlikeus.org.
For more information about Shoutout Radio, visit us online at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Shoutout.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shoutout Podcast.
Chain reaction. Oh, wonderful.
We're singing because we're from
I used to bop around in my bedroom to that song.
That's actually Steps performing that version.
And Steps, of course, they were big back in the day, weren't they?
Yeah, they were big back in the day.
On the gay scene.
A long time ago.
Yeah. Every gayer's best friend.
They were back at clubs like Club 46 and Roosters up on
Roosters. Oh my god.
Remember those days?
That was my haunts, yes.
I think Roosters is shut by the time Steps shot to fame.
No, I definitely heard Steps. Roosters was going around 1999, 2000, I think.
Yeah.
Around about then. Yeah.
I don't remember a club called Roosters.
No, nor do I.
It became Club 46 after, And
not the one that turned into Castro's.
No. Castro's was the old Evening Post social club that became Castro's then.
And then Flamingo's is where the old Market Assembly is.
That's it.
46 Flamingo. Is at the other end. So 46 is opposite where the OMA is.
Yeah.
So
and I loved Flamingo's when they renamed it R7.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
I thought that was the best play.
Do you remember with Canal Street in Manchester, some wag used to tip-ex out the C and the S of Canal Street so it read something else.
Oh, right.
It was very funny. Yes.
Very funny. Very, very funny.
Of course, my favourite. And the reason we keep playing it this year is because it's the anniversary of Queer as Folk, isn't it?
Yes. 20 years, yes. It was groundbreaking at the time, you know.
You watch it back now and it's cringeworthy.
And also, it's also Stonewall, isn't it? 50 years of Stonewall.
Yes. It is, yes. Yes.
In June, it was.
And
it was.
10 years of this incarnation of Pride.
Exactly. Yep. It's quite a...
We're the ones that are out of sync, actually, because we're on year 9 at the moment.
Portents, lots of portents in this year, isn't there?
Portents.
Yes. Yeah.
Portents are just things, you know, like in big happenings.
Right. Yes. Yes.
Eventful.
Moon landings as well, allegedly. We won't go into
I'm
that
I'm glad
today.
You put that allegedly in there.
Joining choirs.
Oh, thanks, Andy. So, I've joined Bristol Musical Choir, which is a lot of fun, and we've got a concert in St George's on Sunday at 7:30. Come along, we'll be singing, and we'll be doing a few moves. And
there are so
Bristol
many,
Musical Choir, I
there
love
are
it.
So many choirs in this area. I'm sure there are in other cities and towns as well.
Bristol's really good for things like that.
Yeah, there's obviously the LGBT choir Sing Out. There's women's choirs, there's men's choirs, there's loads of stuff happening. People are really singing.
Yeah, we heard them when
Boney M were on the stage on Saturday.
Do you reckon it's the Welsh influence?
Do you know what? When my parents moved up to Wales, because I lived there before, and then my parents kind of like followed me, and my father told me, he said the thing you notice about the Welsh is they love to sing. Mm. When you go to a festival or even a funeral, he said that the Welsh love to sing.
They do.
You know, and they
have to
maybe
it's fantastic tradition.
The studio's just across the river from that country.
They've just sang at my friend's wedding as well. They had a flash.
What, the Welsh?
Welsh women's voice.
Wow.
How wonderful.
Yeah. At the wedding. It was fantastic.
The Cornish should be just say it as well. Yeah.
Maybe it's we all like a good sing song.
Maybe it's Celtic. Oh, we do. Celtic. You're right.
There was a reason karaoke was big in the 90s. It was because we all like to drink and get stupid.
Everyone loves to sing.
I remember karaoke with the late Baz T at the Griffin. Yeah. Those were the days.
And you could even hire a room and just sing to your loved one too. It was mad. So. Anyway, that's it for another week. If you joined us, tuned in or were there live in person or celebrated in your own way at home, we wanted to say a big thank you if you're listening in to our big Pride broadcast at the weekend.
And we will be back again next year. But in the meantime, catch us online at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Next week, talking of Pride, we're going to be talking about Western Supermare Pride, but from myself and the rest of the team, say goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Shout out.
LGBT Radio for you.